Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
God has a plan for your life that is greater than anything, according to Ephesians 3, 19 and 20. Greater than anything you could ever hope for, ask for, or imagine. I got two that agreed with that. I said, God has a plan for your life. This isn't rhetorical. It's okay to yell back. Yes, He does. God has a plan for your life, according to Ephesians. Let me tell you something. One day, just stay with me here. One day, a couple of years ago, before an election, I don't care which way you wanted it to go. Listen, it wasn't going to go good either way. Because we have a king. We have a king. I said we have a king. We are not dependent upon elections. Man can't fix man. Now don't make me start that, so respond here a little bit. Man cannot fix man. So no matter which way it was going to go, one day I don't know if you remember this, but I quoted, I was teaching one Sunday morning, and I quoted, are you all awake? I just want to make sure. I quoted Sean Hannity. Boy, the place came down. I quoted a little bit of Bill O'Reilly. The place came down. I'm trying to think, oh, Rush Limbaugh. I threw a Rush Limbaugh because I know many of you conservatives, you know. Amen, you know. Then I quoted Jesus and it was like crickets in here. Do you remember that Sunday? Then I quoted the Master. I might have got Pastor Harvey over here. Amen. Do you get the picture? We have a king. We have a king. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. We have a king. Don't worry about your elections. I don't know if you're still with me yet. I said we have a king. We have a king. And he came 2,000 years ago. And this morning we're going to light the second Advent candle. I'm going to go ahead and Beth is going to play a little sweet something here. I want to just read this note to you about the second Advent. It's this week we celebrate joy, the joy of the Lord. This Christmas season is a very special season for all of us. Sometimes Christmas is a little difficult for some of us because we've lost someone very special. And we can't, at times, sit and listen to Christmas music without just thinking of that sentimental side. And I'm going to tell you, I'm the biggest sentimental person you'll ever meet. I think of those that God has taken home during the Christmas season. And that's good. It's good to do that. But even in the middle of remembering someone special, you can find the joy of the Lord. Because the Bible says that's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you've never heard me teach on that, someday I'll teach it again. The joy of the Lord is really our strength. It's what allows us to get up on a morning that we just don't think we can get up and realize that Jesus is in my day. He is my King and He is my God. I know I've got a student that is going to come up and light our candle. That's it. There he is. Chris, come on up here, buddy. Come on up here, buddy. Grab that lighter right there, and if you would, light the pink one first, because that was the candle of hope from last week. He is our hope. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. There we go. There you go, buddy. Thank you. And as he lights the second one, let me just read this portion of scripture to you. Go right ahead, bud. Go ahead and light that purple candle right there. Thank you. And we have heard, this is 2 Peter 1:19. And we have heard the word of the prophets. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you. We have heard the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Who is the morning star? His name is Jesus. And he is God with us, and he shall be called Emmanuel. In this Christmas season, there are these, for some, as I stated, are some of the more difficult days. But I want to just encourage you to let the morning star rise every morning throughout the rest of December. Start your morning off with, every morning off with, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for coming. Thank you for giving all for me. And thank you for living within my heart. Thank you for coming into my spirit and refreshing me. And thank you for carrying me through what may be a difficult time during this Christmas season. I want to encourage you that this Christmas is not just about celebrating Jesus as the baby in a manger. This truly is still about celebrating the King, the one who is going to take his throne. And one day he will call us to be with him. That's the baby we're talking about. Not just a baby in a manger, but the King who is our God. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this joy that you give to us even in tough times. Thank you that during this Christmas season we can acknowledge there is hope in you and there is joy in you always. I'm asking you, Father, today, this week, specifically for the family of St. Charles River Church and our guests this morning, that you will bless them with an amazing week of joy. Because as the prophets foretold, you did come once. But even more so, as the prophets have foretold, you will come again. And there is joy in knowing that we will not always abide. But during this season of grace, this grace dispensation, I'm asking you, God, that you'll put a passion inside of us to give the gospel away at a greater rate than we ever have, because Lord, we believe that you're coming back and that you're coming back soon. So Father, give us a passion for the harvest during this Christmas season in the name of Jesus. And every believer said, amen. Let it play, Beth. Just go ahead and let it play for a second. I want to encourage you. There are two seasons in a year. There are two seasons. The Easter season and the Christmas season, where the world stops. Even, I'm talking secular radio, I'm talking liberals, conservatives, I'm talking socialists and communists. Everybody stops. And whether even communist nations in a private basement somewhere hidden, in a basement church, a hidden church, they're going to acknowledge that the Savior was born. And they're going to celebrate the coming of the Savior. Everywhere around the world during this season, people stop. Even unbelievers, those who really have never, or pre-Christian people, people who have never really experienced the mercies of God yet, but they're on that journey towards Christ, that pre-Christ experience, they will stop and they will celebrate with their families. And I want to encourage you, this is the season of all seasons, and Easter, to encourage someone to come and just hear the Christmas story. To come and be a part of a Christmas service, specifically on Christmas Eve, right here in this service. We're going to do a candlelight service right here in this auditorium at 10:58 on Christmas Eve morning. It's going to be a beautiful service all about that baby that came in the manger. But then we're going to take it on to the one who is coming back again for you and for me. And we will all raise a candle that is lit, representing the light to the world. Will you come? Invite somebody if you would, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this Advent season where we proclaim what the prophets foretold, that you would come once, but they also proclaimed that you would come again. And we look forward to that day in the name of Jesus. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Thank you. This morning, I've asked Pastor Mike to come. He is actually our senior associate pastor here at St. Charles River Church. You know, God has given us a great great pastoral staff and spouses. I mean, I really passionately believe that. I love sharing God's word. Do you understand that? I love sharing God's word. But I want you to know, this is not where I spend most of my time sharing God's word. It's at Cracker Barrel with people that need Jesus. It's at some of the worst restaurants and some of the best restaurants in St. Louis. That's where we share Jesus. I love bringing the word. You getting the picture? And would you welcome to the platform Pastor Mike Alexander?
I am so thankful for the opportunities that you all give me and that Pastor Barry gives me to just be able to share something that Jesus has laid on my heart. How many of you went shopping on Black Friday? Got a few hands here. And you know, Black Friday is not quite what it used to be because now stores are open on Thanksgiving. They start their things Thanksgiving evening, but still Black Friday, it's a big promotional thing. So Carmen and I went out on Black Friday. Now we weren't crazy people, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever, but we did leave the house about 6:15 Friday morning, and we actually left with a plan, and things went so well, believe it or not, that we had some time together where, you know, we didn't have the kids with us, so we went and watched a movie. Yeah. Now, before I tell you about the movie, what you got to understand is, you know, Pastor Barry talked about the two seasons, the Christmas season and the Easter season, where it just reaches everybody. I have two phases in my life. One is BC, and BC is not what you would normally think of. We'll talk about that a little bit later. BC in my life means before Carmen. And then there's WC, which is with Carmen. And in the WC portion of my life, you know, Carmen's trying to work. You know, I'm a piece of clay that she's working and molding and making and trying to get me to be a little more sophisticated, a little more well-rounded. So we went to see a movie that in the BC days, I wouldn't have given a second thought. But in the WC days, we went and saw it, and I enjoyed it. Thought it was a great movie. It was called The Man Who Invented Christmas. And if you're not familiar with the movie, it's about Charles Dickens and the writing of A Christmas Carol. Now, there's two movies for Carmen that are just like, they're like 1 and 1A in the Christmas season. One's A Christmas Carol, and one is It's a Wonderful Life. So we went to see The Man Who Invented Christmas, Charles Dickens' writing of A Christmas Carol. And in the beginning of it, he had written Oliver Twist. He toured the United States, and that tour didn't go well. He went back home. He's trying to write a book. He's struggling. So he pitches his idea of a Christmas book. And what you got to know, back at that time, and in England, Christmas was not that big a deal. And people are like, why do you want to write a Christmas book? And, you know, why now? And you've only got 6 weeks. You don't have time to really produce a good book in 6 weeks. But he did it. He powered through, and it's a story that we know is, you know, and at the end of the movie it talks about how, you know, once it was published, it sold out in just a few days, and how it impacted the way people viewed Christmas, and how charitable giving went up after that from reading that story. It's a shame we can't get a little more of that back today again, isn't it? Because now we're a little, you know, we're too focused on getting the ultimate Christmas present and being able to put a picture of that on Facebook or something that, but it really changed how people viewed Christmas. So as I watched that, and afterwards, you know, what God laid on my heart was, that's really great how this man came up with this story in 6 weeks. So then I got to thinking about the first Christmas story. And I realized, you know, that was not a story that took 6 weeks to make or even 9 months to make, which is, you know, what, you know, a normal pregnancy would be 9 months. But it was a story that took hundreds of years to make. And I wanted to look a little bit of that today. So we're going to start in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And Malachi was written about 430 B.C., and yes, that does mean before Christ, not before Carmen. It was written in 430 B.C., and Malachi was a prophet who was sent. He was a prophet over the southern part of the kingdom and over Judah. And, there, you know, it's I think it's really great that, this is the last book in the Old Testament. And throughout the Old Testament, you know, we get this roller coaster ride with the Israelites. Up and down, up and down. Things are going great. God's good. We turn our backs on him. Things start going bad. Oh, we need you, God. It comes back up. Up and down. And this is one of those periods at the end where the Israelites have turned their back on God. And then they're wanting to know why he's not there for them. But they, you know, their relationship with him is not right. And Malachi's talking to them about this, about how they've turned their back on God. They've broken the covenant. Men have broken their covenants with their wives, the promises they made with their wives. The priests are not honoring the worship of God. And he does talk to those few who do remain in good relationship, good standing with God. But this is really focused on those who have turned their back on God. And in Malachi 3:1, it says, "Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies." Malachi is talking about a messenger, and then one that he's preparing the way for. And if we think about into the story of Christ, there was John the Baptist who came, and he prepared the way for Jesus, and then Jesus came. And Malachi talked about that 430 years before it happened. So then let's go back a little bit further to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. This is a passage I think a lot of us are familiar with, verses 6 and 7. And this part of Isaiah was written about 700 B.C. So we had 430 B.C. Now we're back to 700 B.C. We're going back a little bit further here. He says, "For a child is born to us." And when I read that, this is the part about that, and we'll talk about it again a little bit in a minute, but this is the part that it says right here in Isaiah that a child is born. Yet when that child was born, he was rejected because people were looking for something else. They were looking for something more than a baby. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen." Isaiah is just filled with prophecies about the coming of a Messiah and the salvation he's going to offer. And in this passage right here, it talks about the baby that is being brought, that is going to be born, that's going to be the governor, going to rule the world. So let's go back just a little bit further. Let's go back to 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Now, 2 Samuel was written around 930 B.C., so we're going back another couple hundred years. And it was written at the end of the reign of David. And as we know, David, the prophecy was that the line of Christ would come through David. And that's talked about in 2 Samuel, chapter 7. About how God is going to carry on his line through, he's going to carry on the line of David, and that goes through to Christ. And so David is, like I said, this is the end of his reign, and this is near the end of his life that he speaks these words in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3. "The God of Israel spoke, the Rock of Israel said to me, 'The one who rules righteously, who rules in the fear of God.'" There's a righteous ruler coming. David talks about a righteous ruler. Again, the story is just, again, we're going backwards, but we can see how much of the story just unfolds as we go back further and further and further. We're going to go back one more. We're going to go back about as far back as we can go. Genesis 3:15. Right before this, you know, we know that God had created man, he had created woman, and then that serpent came, and he lured them into sin. And so God addressed that with the man, he addressed that with the woman, and now he's addressing it with the serpent. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. The serpent's going to be striking at the heel of Christ. And when you're getting at someone's heel, it can be a little irritating. But then Christ is going to come around, and he's going to strike the head. When you strike the head of that serpent, he is there. He's going to fight the enemy. He's going to destroy the enemy. Give you a little plug here. So men's ministry in January, we're going to start a 5-week or a 5-DVD session study on Psalm 23. And the first session is called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat. And the focus of it is Psalm 23:5, where he says, you prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You see, Jesus comes and meets us there with our enemy. He doesn't stand back and say, okay, if you can get yourself out of that situation and then come back, then I'll take care of you. No. He comes right into that situation, meets you right there in it, and is there to fight the enemy with you side by side. And that's what this is talking about. This is talked about way back in Genesis, back in the very beginning. So if we went back 430 years, we went back 700 years, 930 years, now we went all the way back to the beginning. And we see the building of the story of that first Christmas. And in Malachi, the first passage we read, as we said, that was the last chapter, that was the last book in the Old Testament. And it was written in 430 B.C., so there are over 400 years of silence before that baby was born. And then that's what the silence is broken with. Not with a mighty army coming down or a mighty warrior coming and with in that, but with a baby, the cry of a baby. And I know we're going to be hearing this a lot over the next couple weeks. But I also know that so the way the calendar falls, you know, we have the children's program next Sunday, and then the following Sunday is Christmas Eve. And as Pastor Barry's invited you here to be a part of that so that someone has a place to come and worship on Christmas Eve and to bring someone. But we also know that at Christmas Eve, at that time, we get busy with our families, so folks may not be able to be able to be a part of that. And that's why I wanted to share this message with you today. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now, Carmen and I saw a second Christmas movie that weekend. This one we took Eli and Bella to. It was called The Star. If you're not familiar with it, it's an animated film, and it looks at the birth of Christ, but it looks at it from the viewpoint of the animals who are a part of that. So the main character's name is Bo, and Bo is the donkey that Mary rides into Bethlehem on. So as you watch the story, Bo has, before he's with Mary and Joseph, he has an owner who does not treat him well. And Bo also has a dream, and that dream is to be a part of the royal caravan. He wants to lead the royal caravan. They show where the caravan's coming through, and he's just watching. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen for him. And he's able to escape this owner, and he gets with Mary and Joseph. And as they're starting their journey to Bethlehem, things don't go well there. He starts to have some friction with Joseph. So he separates himself from Joseph, and he goes and he finds that royal caravan. And he thinks, all right, this is my opportunity to go and be a part of that. And he goes, and he's right there. He sees him passing, but then he sees the star. The star has been a part of the film throughout the whole time. He sees the star, and all of a sudden he's drawn back to Mary and Joseph. and he goes back to them at a time where they could really use some help. Because at that point, the way they have it in the movie is they're riding a cart, the cart's broken, so then Mary gets on to Bo and rides on Bo into Bethlehem. And then when the baby is born, and people come around, there's three wise men that come. You know, we don't ever quite get that right, but we can't because we're always trying to fit it into one show, one scene, one program, so we always have the wise men there at the manger. So the wise men come and they present their gifts, and they're talking about presenting gifts to a king, not to a baby, to a king. And all of a sudden, Bo kind of perks up. What do you mean a king? And then he realizes that, oh, there's a little something more going on here than a baby being born. And when they say they're presenting gifts to a king, Bo goes, Bo, he wanted to be part of the royal caravan, right? He said, I had a king on my back. I carried a king on my back. That king was a baby. And then who do the angels go to celebrate the birth of this baby? There's always a little breeze up here, so my Bible turn. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and a radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. I probably would be too. If I'm sitting there and there's this bright light in that, and I'd be a little afraid. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. The angels come. They tell the shepherds. Who do they go to first? They go to the shepherds and say, your king has been born. They say, where to go? Where to find him? And what happens? You know, we talk about extravagant worship. We talk about worship where we're just caught up and Pastor Barry tells us so many times when we come into church, we shouldn't become expected. We should be bringing that worship in. And worship breaks out. Verse 13, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. The announcement is made, glory to God. The king is here. Glory to God. Celebration has taken place over the birth of this baby. Not over the coming of some mighty warrior, but the birth of a child who is then going to grow. And he's going to become that Messiah. He's going to go out and he's going to touch the lives of others. And that Christmas, as I talked about at the beginning with the writing of the Dickens novel and how that changed how people viewed Christmas at that time, it's a Christmas story that goes on, not just once a year, but goes on each and every day. We should take that out each and every day to folks and tell them about the Savior, the King that was born, and the salvation that is offered through him. Father, we thank you for the gift that you gave us in your Son, Jesus Christ. The humbleness that he showed by coming and being born as a child, as a baby. And then as he lived his life, touched people all along the way. And then he went out and he did his ministry here on earth. He called others to serve him. He taught them. And he called them to serve him and to take his message out. And at that time, at the right time, he was taken up. But his spirit is here with us today, Lord. And he is with each and every one of us, offering that gift of salvation, Father. And we are so thankful for that. We praise you, Father. We praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Barry.
Give the Lord a hand, guys. Thank you, Pastor Mike. I want that scripture back up there, if you don't mind, the portion. Pastor Mike, as you were teaching that, it grabbed me, what you said, what scripture says, and there you go. And then the last one where it said, and suddenly they began to worship. That last one that you had up there. Tell me when it gets up there. You know, we walk in this auditorium every Sunday morning. We walk into a place where others have come to worship and celebrate God. And sometimes, I just think sometimes we come into this place and we wait for God to do something great. And the truth is, even in the story, the Christmas story, God just did something great. Here's Jesus, the baby in the manger. And it says, and suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God. And so they were praising God. I believe there ought to be some level of just great spontaneous praise in the house of the Lord. Just this spontaneous recognizing that the master has actually come into the room. So I during this Christmas season, when you come in, instead of reactionary praise, they didn't wait for Jesus to go to the cross. He had already done something great, and he's already done something great for you and for me. Would you stand this morning? I just want to pray over you, and we're going to make some announcements. We're not leaving yet, but I just want to pray over you, this expectancy and this spontaneity of worship. Heavenly Father, the message that Pastor Mike brought, God, is the most powerful message known to man. It's the message of the Christ child. Come to this earth, not to stay in a manger, but to assume a throne. And as the prophets foretold, he is coming back again. I just ask you, God, that upon these families that are gathered here this morning, you will bless them with a spirit of expectancy. Because the same as we can expect that you're coming back again, Father, we can expect that you're doing great things in each of our lives today. Teach us to expect and teach us to have this spontaneity of praise in our day, every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, I want everybody to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, everybody, and just join in with me. Heavenly Father, today I expect the miracle that the Christmas story has foretold. His name is Jesus. His name is Emmanuel. Today, I expect the miracle to come alive in me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a huge hand, guys. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Thank you, Pastor Mike. You may be seated. Yeah, you know, can I just tell you, I've got a couple of announcements I want to share with you before we leave today. First of all, we have a great God. And I'm going to keep announcing that and keep announcing that. If that isn't a part of our announcements, let me just tell you, we have a great God. And he has come today to bring something special to you. The other day I was in Cracker Barrel, my second office. Actually, some people believe it's my first office, because before this building was built, Cracker Barrel was where, and we still do, don't we? Do our elders meetings there. We do our pre-marriage courses there. We do all of our, they just have a table for us. It's a six top back in there. And I unfortunately at times have to do funeral preparations there. So I'll gather a family in the back third section there and we'll sit and talk. And in fact, a couple of years ago, the manager of Cracker Barrel came out and put a Cracker Barrel star on my lapel and dubbed me the Cracker Barrel chaplain. So it's just amazing the opportunities that we have in that restaurant to talk with servers. They've lined up and just wanted to talk and hear something encouraging that God has for them. So isn't it cool? We actually get to take the word out of here. That is cool. So I get a call from Chris Weber the other day. He said, Pastor Barry, I need to meet you. Can we have lunch? And I said, dude, you want to do it over the phone? He said, nah, I don't think I can do this over the telephone. I said, okay, well, that's great. We'll meet at Cracker Barrel. And we did. And he looked at me and said, I walk in. I was just behind them arriving. It happened to be Lisa was standing there. Come on up here, guys. Lisa was standing there next to him, and I didn't expect Lisa. I said, oh, for crying out loud. You brought the better half, the much prettier half. And so come on up here. Come on up here, guys. Yeah, hold on to that. So Chris and Lisa are standing there looking at me, and I said, I cannot wait. This is double the treat. I get to be with you guys. And Chris and I, we all sat down. We looked at each other. And Chris was, come over here, Chris. You were over here. So Chris is over here on this side. And we're right in the middle of the restaurant. Fireplace is going. It's really nice. Nice romantic setting, you know. And I was killing their party because I was the third wheel. And Chris pulls this piece of paper out. And he said, Pastor Barry, we've been waiting for this for a very long time. He said, would you marry me? To this girl. And I'm looking at a marriage license. And suddenly, as scripture says, suddenly a wedding broke out. I said, okay, let's go to the fireplace. And if you didn't see it on our Twitter page or wherever Pam put it, I don't know what it is. Is it on our Facebook or is it? It's on our Facebook. You did put it. I don't know where y'all put it. I just know I sent the word out. We sent pictures. Congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Chris Weber. Hey, look, give me. Love you guys. Love you dearly.
Thank you.
Show them the ring. It glistens. It glistens. Thank you guys. You can have a seat. Thank you. Isn't that exciting? They done did it. It's a great day. I have, you know, he looked at me and said, I asked you a long time ago if you would do that. And I said, let's do it. So we went over, stood by the fireplace. There was this couple, probably in their mid-50s, sitting there right in, you know, and they're eating and they're going. I look at her. I said, would you be the photographer? Here. And I said, would you be the photographer? Yes, I would love to. She jumps up. She starts taking pictures. I said, by the way, I need you to be the maid of honor and best man. I got to have. Yes, we're in. They both jump up and they're witnessing, and the whole restaurant's kind of focused on Chris and Lisa and my back, you know, and they're facing everybody. They're behind the fireplace is right behind them. Even the servers. It looked like the wedding party. The servers are standing there with trays. There's another one. They're all coming out of the kitchen and they're posed around us. If you see all the pictures, they literally are standing there. The servers and the managers are in the background. Their first wedding at Cracker Barrel. Awesome. So this couple stands up. They're signing the marriage license. They're more excited than Chris and Lisa. This lady is giddy. And then she comes up behind me. Don't let them leave. We got something coming. You know, when you let somebody into your story, you touch deeply the heart of a man or a woman or a child. When you give them value like that, I'm honest before God, I'm telling you, this couple was more excited than Chris and Lisa. And they bought the wedding cake. And here it's delivered to the table. And they're running around making this day special because, you see, you gave them the privilege of joining their story and about 50 other people in that room. Isn't it wonderful? People are just wanting to know that they fit somewhere into the story. Spontaneity, that was a spontaneous moment where God stepped in. And then they said, what church do you guys go to? And I said, St. Charles River Church, we attend there. I never tell them I'm the pastor. I just don't. I think they might assume that, but I said, we attend St. Charles River Church. We'll be by. By the way, is that couple here today? If Chris and Lisa, if you ever see them, point them out. I'll welcome them here. Give Chris and Lisa one more hand. Will you do that?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.